Reporter Mary Murphy recounts that the 1980s were seen as a challenging period for New York City. High rates of robberies, assaults, and a noticeable presence of drug addicts on the streets were seen as a stain on such a high-profile area. When Police Inspector Ken Lindell arrived in Harlem in 1989, he found it to be one of the most challenging areas, describing it as a very violent place. However, he also noted that many hard-working individuals were simply trying to survive. That would be the case for two mothers raising their children in the bustling city. They were both simply focused on going to work, returning home, and providing for their kids. Little did they know that someone around them had a focus as well, and this person's focus would be on their children. But what did he want with them? The answer to that question remains unclear. All we know is that his actions brought about a nightmare that has never ended. In this episode of Still Unsolved, we look at the abductions of both Shane Walker and Christopher Dansby.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
On Thursday, August 10th, 1989, 35-year-old Rosa Glover took her son Shane to the park at 5 p.m. As they entered through the park's gate, they were approached by two young children, a 10-year-old girl and her 6-year-old brother. They asked Rosa if they could play with her 19-month-old son. Initially, Rosa rejected the plea, but they persisted. Despite her reservations, Rosa eventually relented. The kids took Shane to the slide, while Rosa sat on a bench nearby. Moments later, a man sat next to Rosa and struck up a conversation. He talked about how parents don't pay enough attention to their children, mentioning crime and even kidnapping. The man ominously stated, "Things happen to children." He then showed his scars, which he claimed were from fights. Rosa briefly turned her head to look at the man's scars, and when she turned back a few moments later, she realized Shane and the other children were gone. She quickly stood up and began searching for them, screaming and calling out Shane's name. She searched throughout the park, but could not find him. About 3 minutes later, the children who had been with Shane emerged through a hole in the park's wire fence, but Shane was not with them. Frantically, Rosa asked, "What did you do with my son?" They claimed they had left him in the park. Rosa retorted, "If you left him in the park, he would still be in the park." Despite their insistence, she could not find Shane. She ran around the park and the surrounding areas, continuing to shout for him. Other people in the park joined in the search, but there was no sign of him. Rosa went to the police station to report Shane missing, and she would be shocked to learn that the police had heard her story before. Just 3 months earlier, another child disappeared from the same park. In May of 1989, 2-year-old Christopher Dansby lived in the same complex with his mother, Allison, and other relatives. On Thursday, May 18th, Allison took Christopher and his older brother to the park at around 6:30 p.m. They were joined by Allison's sister, Carolyn, and their mother, Elizabeth. Allison recalls that after walking around the park with Christopher, she decided to go to the store to buy crabs for dinner. Since Allison didn't have Christopher's stroller, she left him and his brother with Elizabeth, who was accompanied by several other adults. Before leaving, Allison hugged and kissed Christopher goodbye, telling him she would be right back. He replied, "I love you, Mommy." 30 minutes later, Allison returned to the park. She started looking for Elizabeth and her sons and was horrified by who was missing. Christopher was nowhere to be found. The people at the park began to help her search, but they could find no sign of him. Allison asked Carolyn where Christopher was. Carolyn explained that she had seen him one moment, but someone else had him the next. She mentioned that about 5 adults were in the park and that all of them were watching the kids. One of them remembered seeing Christopher playing with a red ball, even though he had not brought one to the park that day. Elizabeth recalled seeing him playing with his young cousin, but had looked away for a few minutes to talk to a friend. When she looked back, Christopher was gone. The cousin said they had gone their separate ways while playing, and he had not seen Christopher after that. The police were called, and officers quickly arrived at the park. Inspector Ken Lindahl says everyone took the case very seriously, treating it as an all-hands operation. He understood that the initial hours of a child's disappearance are crucial. The first step was to canvass the area thoroughly. The complex consisted of 10 towers, each with about 14 floors and multiple apartments per floor. Searching the entire complex for Christopher in a timely manner proved challenging. Inspector Lindahl noted the high density of people in this relatively small area, acknowledging that the scale of the search over the following days was immense. However, when a child goes missing, every effort must be made. Inspector Lindahl points out that the park has an entrance on Lenox Avenue, and there was a hole in the park fence that many children would use to come and go. This meant there were numerous ways to enter and exit the park, which is located on a very busy street. He suggests that someone could have taken Christopher by putting him in a cab or car and driving off to an unknown location. Allison believes that Christopher might have been coaxed into going with someone, but she doesn't think he would have willingly taken someone's hand and walked away. She suspects that if he was crying while being taken, witnesses might not have realized the seriousness of the situation, as children often cry. Inspector Lindahl considered whether Christopher's disappearance might have been related to a custody issue between his parents. Allison explained that Christopher's father, Milton, was living in Florida at the time and was not involved in their lives. Milton returned to New York after Christopher went missing and fully cooperated with the police. Inspector Lindahl confirmed there was no indication that he was involved, as they verified he was in Florida during the disappearance. The police began exploring other theories, including the possibility of a drug-related situation. Allison admitted to having a past problem with drugs, but was in recovery at the time of Christopher's disappearance, and a vendor confirmed that Allison had come to his store and bought crabs that day. A 7-year-old boy from Christopher's neighborhood told police that he saw Christopher walking with a black man. However, the police were never able to identify him. The day after Christopher disappeared, his cousin reportedly saw him walking with a man near the cousin's school. The man was holding Christopher's hand, and Christopher was wearing the same clothes as the day before. The cousin reported this to the principal, who then contacted the police, but no trace of Christopher or the man was found. Christopher's case was at a standstill until Shane went missing 3 months later. Rosa recalls that she had no idea another boy had gone missing in the park until it happened to Shane. At the time of Christopher's disappearance, Rosa and her kids had been at Disney World, and she missed the story entirely. She insists that if she had known about Christopher, she never would have taken Shane to that park. But the question on the minds of the investigators was one of chance. What are the odds that two separate cases could be so similar? Or maybe the two cases weren't separate at all.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
The similarities between the two cases were troubling. Both incidents occurred at similar times of day, on the same day of the week, and during similar times of the year. Both days were still light, and the park was crowded. Both children were last seen in the same area of the park, were black male toddlers, and lived in the same apartment building. The police found these similarities too significant to ignore. The children who were with Shane were interviewed at length by the police. There was suspicion that they might have acted as decoys for someone who abducted Shane. Both kids claimed they had only played with him and that he had wandered off to another part of the park. The parents of these children were also interviewed, and Inspector Lindahl confirmed that there was no indication of their involvement in the case. The man who had been sitting next to Rosa on the bench was also brought in for questioning. He was also cleared of being involved in Shane's disappearance. Shane's father, James, was interviewed for several hours and underwent a polygraph test, but no evidence implicated any family members in the disappearance. Interestingly, in July of 1989, just days before Shane disappeared, Rosa purchased a $10,000 life insurance policy for him. And 7 weeks after purchasing the policy, she attempted to collect on it, but was denied because she did not have a death certificate. Rosa claims she wasn't thinking about the policy when Shane disappeared, and that the suggestion to claim the money came from the person who sold her the policy. She explains that she bought the policy before taking Shane on a flight to Florida, in case the plane crashed. Another theory came from reporter Mary Murphy, who began hearing rumors about a possible baby-selling ring. Harlem residents speculated that children were being abducted and sold on the black market, possibly to childless couples in the South. Murphy believes it is very possible that the children are still alive, likely taken by people who were desperate to have a baby but could not have children of their own. Inspector Lindahl suggests that, if that were the case, the children would be raised far from New York City and may have fraudulent birth certificates, just like in the case of Carlina White. On August 4th, 1987, Carlina White, just 19 days old, was taken by her parents to Harlem Hospital with a fever. There, they encountered a woman dressed as a nurse who offered them comfort. During a shift change, the imposter smuggled Carlina out of the hospital, leading to a massive manhunt. 23 years after her abduction, Carlina was found alive. When she became pregnant in 2004 and needed medical insurance, she submitted her birth certificate, only to be informed that it was a forgery. She began researching online and came across a picture of Carlina as an infant. The picture bore a strong resemblance to her own child, leading her to wonder if she might be Carlina. A DNA test confirmed that she was. Allison says, seeing Carlina's recovery and reunion with her family was a blessing, and also a sign of hope for her own reunion with her child. Rosa has never given up hope. She believes Shane is out there somewhere, and she just needs to find him. Allison says that some days she struggles to go on. She describes the constant longing, the endless wondering, and the desperate need for answers. She wants to know something, anything, but she has nothing. Police are seeking to question an unidentified man described as a light-skinned black male, age 19 to 24, and approximately 5'8" at the time. He was seen wearing a yellow shirt and acid-washed jeans. A witness saw him walking with a little boy matching Shane's description in the area that evening. The police find his identification crucial to solving this case. Until that happens, the disappearance of Christopher Dansby and Shane Walker remains still an unsolved mystery.